Philippians chapter number 2, thank you for your attention throughout this meeting, and we'll do our best to give you what the Lord has laid upon our heart, and give Him the glory for it, just as we heard in song. This afternoon, I'd like to speak to you on this theme. It's two words, team faithful. Team, T-E-A-M, faithful. It's a team that I want to be on. The faithful team. Amen? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I tell you what, there's no degree needed to be faithful. It just takes some obedience to the things of the Lord. Takes some determination on our part. But I tell you, everybody in this room, we can be on this team. Team faithful. And faithfulness can go into so many different areas of our life. And I pray that God will apply His Word as it's needed in your life. The author of this book, as you know, is the Apostle Paul. While he's writing this book, as a reminder, while he's writing this book, he is under house arrest. He's not free to go where he wants to go. He's not free to leave his home. Some believe that he more than likely was chained to soldiers in his own home and not able to freely move about. Can you imagine that? And yet we find this book is known as an epistle of joy. And so, again, taking that into consideration, I think, is very important. He was in Rome and could not go to Philippi to check on the work. So this is a letter written to a church that has already been established. Remember, we talked about that way back when we got into this from the book of Acts, how the church at Philippi began. So this church is already established, and so because Paul cannot go to Philippi, that's why he's writing this letter. Imagine that. He's thinking of the people while he's in prison. Today, we're going to look briefly at three men that are mentioned within this, not necessarily by name in these verses. One was listed previous, but two specifically, the author, and then one, his name is mentioned in regards to their faithfulness. It's a biblical character trait, again, that we need to aspire to have in our life. The first one that we're going to look at is the man Timothy. Timothy is someone who was faithful in ministry. We see that in verses 22 and 23. You have your Bible there, but you know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Paul is talking about Timothy. Remember, Timothy is someone who Paul brought to Christ. Timothy is someone who Paul discipled. Timothy is someone who Paul cared much for. And they labored together, as Paul says here in verse number 22. He served with me in the gospel. Why was Timothy the one that Paul had sent with this message? Why Timothy? Number one, letter A, he was a man of approved character. He was a man of approved character. Why was he sent? This isn't in the outline, but I'll give you these. If you're writing things, you can write this down. Just listen if you're not writing notes. Number one, he was reliable. He was reliable. And we see that from this word proof in verse number 22. But ye know the proof of him, his character. This word proof means approved or of a tried character. From the very beginning of Paul's missionary journeys, very close to the beginning, there was a man with him, and that's Timothy. He was faithful in ministry. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 17, if you want to turn there, I'm going to go ahead and read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son. But I love what Paul says, and faithful in the Lord. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if somehow we could have, I mean, this is all hypothetical, but, you know, if something, somebody like Paul could write about us and say that we're just his servant. We serve with him. We serve the Lord with him. And he would say, hey, so-and-so is, as it says there, they're my beloved son. They're my beloved sister. They're my beloved brother in Christ. But also, they are faithful in the Lord. Again, team faithful. That's a team I want to be on. Team faithful. But it goes on to say, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. In other words, when Timothy comes, he's going to remind you of me. He's going to remind you of my ways that I did things. He's been so close to me that he serves the Lord and he does the things that I've trained him to do. And it's not about Paul, but it's about the one who Paul was pointing people to. And by the way, that's what the world needs to see in us. They need to see the Lord Jesus Christ in us. They need to see faithfulness in us. They need to see the spirit of servanthood in us. C.H. Spurgeon preached to thousands in London on every Lord's Day at his peak of ministry. Yet he started his ministry by passing out tracts and teaching a Sunday school class when he was a teenager. We know the Spurgeon that preached to thousands and wrote many books, but that's not where it began. It began maybe in obscurity. When he began to give short addresses to the Sunday school, God blessed the ministry of the Word. And by the way, God always blesses the ministry of His Word. It doesn't matter if it is shouted, whispered. It doesn't matter if someone just reads it. It doesn't matter if it's done and someone just stands and never moves. I just can't do it that way. It doesn't matter how anybody does it or gives the Word of God. God always blesses the ministry of His Word. It could be a widow woman giving some word to some young people, or a widow woman giving some teaching to some newly married wives. And when the word of God is given, watch out, God's going to bless. And as Anchor Baptist Church continues to major on the ministry of the word, watch what God's going to do. God's going to bless. It may not be how we view the blessing, but the blessing of God will always come with the ministry of His Word. He was invited to preach in obscure places in the countryside. He never turned one of those obscure places down. He used every opportunity to honor the Lord. Some would say that he was faithful in small things, and God trusted him with greater things. He said, quote, I am perfectly sure that if I had not been willing to preach to those small gatherings of people in obscure places, I should never have had the privilege of preaching to thousands of men and women in large buildings all over the land. Timothy, we're talking about him in 2019. Timothy, why? Because he was reliable. Proof, the Bible says there in that verse of Scripture. Secondly, he was not only reliable, but he was submissive. Submissive. Verse 22 says, but ye know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he hath served. He hath served with me. What do you think of when you think of served with me? Anybody quickly have a thought? Served with me. That's two people, right? Served with me. Teamwork. But somebody has to be the leader. Paul was definitely the leader, no question about it. But Paul said he served with me in the gospel. We read about that again in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 17. He was submissive. So we see his approved character. He was reliable. He was submissive. Letter B, we see about Timothy. He was an available replacement. He was an available replacement. Paul could not go, but Timothy was available. Timothy could go, again, as we read a few moments ago, in the same way that Paul would have gone. And again, this goes along with the servant's heart that I believe Timothy displayed. We have people all around us today that could be a Timothy. Think about it for just a moment. Paul is kind of off to himself when you think about Paul. I mean, not too many people are going to write 2/3 of the New Testament. I look at Paul and I think, man, wow. I mean, if God wanted me to do that, I guess, or be like that, then God would enable me. But I don't see that I'm talking about in my own personal life. But I look at Timothy and I think, okay, you know, here's someone that's available. Here's someone that says, you know what, when it's my turn to do whatever it is, I'm going to be reliable. I'm going to be available. I'm going to have what it takes because of what God has done in my life. Secondly, not only do we see, number one, Timothy, faithful in ministry, but secondly, we see Paul. James, could I get you to get me a water, please? It doesn't have to be a bottled water, just one of those is fine. Whatever, thank you. We see Paul, number two, faithful in trials. Faithful in trials. Look at verse number 23. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently. Thank you. I hope to send presently. He's talking about Timothy. But notice what Paul says. So soon as I shall see how it will go with me. There's no question in my mind what that means. Paul didn't know if he was going to live or not. Paul didn't know if his head was coming off or not. It wasn't yet. But Paul didn't know that. He was saying, I'm sending Timothy right now in my place, and I'm just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen to me. How's it going to go with me? Look at those first few words of verse 24. Can you say them with me? Ending with the word Lord. But I trust in the Lord. Let's try that again. But I trust in the Lord. Now put that into perspective. I don't really know what's going to happen to me. You can put a lot in between those lines. We're not going to add to the Word of God. But I don't know if I'm going to die or live. That's what he's saying. I don't know how I'm going to live or how I'm going to die. Tell you what, when you read the Bible slowly, look at how much more impact that makes. Paul is not in pain because of a hangnail. If you've had a hangnail, they're painful. I'm not being unkind to people with hangnails. Paul is in jail. He's under arrest. He could die. And what does he say? He says, I trust in the Lord. Wow. Faithful in trials. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what's coming my way. But I trust in the Lord. Boy, doesn't that help you this afternoon? This week, we've got plans, or we've got a medical test. A couple of weeks ago, Miss Adora had surgery. I'm so glad you're back in church today. She's doing a lot better. Thank you for praying for her. But I trust in the Lord. Immigration needs. Many of you have immigration needs, and you're working through the process, and you don't know what's going to happen. Just like Paul said, I don't know what's going to happen to me, but I trust in the Lord. I was telling the men this morning that, you know, we might have some things coming that we don't know about, and we need to be fixed in the Lord. We might have some things as a church coming that we're not aware of, but can we be like Paul, and can we be faithful in trials, and can we determine here today on this 21st day of July 2019, can we agree with Paul and say, but I trust in the Lord? You know, we don't have a meeting place after December 31st of this year, but I trust in the Lord. Brother Dan's still looking for a meeting place in Richmond, but I trust in the Lord. But I trust in the Lord. Put it into context of all that Paul has endured and is enduring while he's writing this, and it really makes a big difference. His house arrest would not keep him from serving the church at Philippi. Even in prison, Paul would continue to preach and teach the gospel to anyone that would listen. Do you remember what happened in Acts chapter 16? Paul and Silas. It's midnight, and they're having a hymn sing. Before there was Southern gospel music, they're having a hymn sing. They were praising the Lord. And you know the story there. I won't take the time to tell it. But the jailer gets saved and all his house. Why? But he's in jail and he's praising the Lord, but I trust in the Lord. Letter A, Paul was faithful in trials. Letter A, the current trial. The current trial. What was happening? He was waiting for the outcome following his appeal to Caesar. No trial would keep Paul from the ministry, though. Think about that, and I'm challenged by that, even saying that. What would keep us from doing the ministry? By the way, doesn't mean being a pastor. Every Christian's in the ministry. Every Christian's in the ministry. What would keep you from doing the ministry? Turn quickly with me in your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 28. How we doing? Acts 28. Acts 28, 23. When they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging. This is Paul. To whom he, what's that next word? Expounded and what? Testified about what? The kingdom of God. They're coming in. They're coming in one by one to where Paul is under house arrest. Wow. He's not telling them how terrible life is. He's not telling them how he's been mistreated. He's not telling them how somebody let him down. Surely that had happened over and over in his life, as it is in all of our lives. But what's he telling them? He's telling them about the Lord. He's telling them about the kingdom of God. He's expounding unto them, persuading them concerning who? Look at the verse. Concerning who? Jesus. They're coming into him. And Paul's not telling them how to win friends and influence people. Paul's not giving them self-help. Paul's not saying, okay, let's do some yoga. Everybody, let's do some yoga. No, he's telling them about Jesus. He's telling them about his God. He's telling them about the goodness of the Lord. And notice what it says there, both out of the law of Moses. Don't discount the scriptures in the Old Testament. You can't skip over those. I mean, we know why the law was given, don't we? The law was given so we could know we need Jesus. So if you cut the law out and don't tell people about the law, then you got a problem. They're not going to know they need Jesus. There's nobody that can keep those Ten Commandments. That's why we need Jesus. He expounded unto them the law of Moses and out of the prophets. Notice, from morning till evening, he had nowhere to go. I mean, that's something. What a ministry. Talk about a prison ministry. They were coming to visit the preacher in prison. From morning to night. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what the prophet said. Let me tell you about what it says about Moses. Let me tell you what Moses said in the Old Testament. Let me tell you about Jesus from morning to night, morning to night, morning to night. By the way, he didn't know if he was going to live or die. You know what? If we had that on our shoulders, you know what? I don't know how many of us would be able to take from morning to night and just preach Jesus. By the grace of God, I hope we would. He was faithful in trials. And notice, I like what it says, though. I like how God puts everything in the Bible just perfectly, because he's God, right? 24, and some believed. And some believed. Praise God for the some, amen? And some believed the things that were spoken. Praise God for the some that believed. And it said, and some believed not. Point is not who won't believe. The point is this. You give the goods. What's the goods? The gospel. Good news. You give the gospel. You live the gospel. When it's the most difficult time in your life, live the gospel. When it's the most challenging time in your life, get up and read God's word. When it's the most difficult day of your week, get on your knees if you're able to and go to the Lord in prayer. When everything is coming down on you, go to work and ask God, somehow, God, help these lost men and women I work with to see Jesus in me. Some believed. The word of God does not come back void. If you're here this afternoon and I were to look at you right in the eyeballs, and in a very appropriate way, I were to look you in the eyes. When you're on the front row, sometimes this happens. And I were to look you right in the eyes and I were to say, if you died today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? And if you heard that question and anything in your mind was like, I don't know. I don't know. Would I? I hope so. By the way, that's not the way God wants you to live your life. I know this is my brother, by the way. My brother down here. We're related through the blood of Christ. Okay? Dave's your brother. His head's a little darker than yours. Yeah, we're the brother. We just have a different mother. Amen. Got the same father. God is our father. Jesus is our Savior. I know Brother Vijay's testimony, but I don't know everybody's testimony here. What I'm saying is, he said earlier, God commendeth his love toward us. Romans 5:8. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the message that Paul was faithful in trials, that message of the gospel. You're not sure you're saved. What does that mean? If you're not sure that if you died today, you would be in heaven, don't leave this building without getting that settled. Paul was faithful in trials. Letter A, the current trial. By the way, did you know? And if you did not know, I'm not saying that I know more than you just because I'm giving you information. But here's some letters that Paul wrote. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, and the one we're reading right now, Philippians. These were all written while he was in some sort of prison. Called the prison epistles. Letters. Faithful in trials. The current trial, letter A. Letter B, the anticipated release. Paul expressed a desire to take the gospel where it had not been taken, hoping to be released from prison so he could visit Philippi and then on to unreached people. And we won't turn to it, but Romans chapter 15, verses 23 and 24. So we saw Timothy number one, and there's probably several Timothys possibly. And then we see number two, the Apostle Paul, and I'm thinking the numbers are really shrinking. But then number three, and lastly, we see the man Epaphroditus. He's listed for us there in verse 25, and he's faithful, number three, faithful in battle. And I must say, many of us here today can identify with this man, Epaphroditus. By the way, just quickly, it was a common name in this time because it came from the Greek god Aphrodite. So more than likely, Epaphroditus was not from a believer's home. He was more than likely not in a, he was not, He was a first generation believer, so to speak, because of the name that he would have been given. He became, obviously, a believer, a key Christian in the church, a sacrificial man who left his home, left his employment, left his ministry, his church, his friends, his wife and children. He left all of it behind, whatever he left behind, just giving those as an examples to serve the Apostle Paul. Letter A, Epaphroditus was a fellow laborer. Notice the phrase back in our text, a companion in labor. Verse 25. Companion in labor. He was a companion in the work. I'm thankful for the companions that we have at Anchor Baptist Church that we get to labor with on a weekly basis. He was sent by the church at Philippi. Why? The church at Philippi was concerned about the Apostle Paul. And they wanted to send him some money, some financial help. Turn over to chapter 4, please. Chapter 4, verse 18. But I have all, Philippians 4, 18, sorry. But I have all and abound. Remember, this is a letter Paul is writing, and he's going to send it back with Epaphroditus. He says, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. F.B. Meyer said, don't waste your time waiting and longing for large opportunities which may never come, but faithfully handle the little things that are always claiming your attention. Letter B, Paul calls him a fellow soldier. A fellow soldier. He was an associate in labors and conflicts for the cause of Christ. So much so that the Bible tells us here that Epaphroditus got sick. And we really don't know a lot about Epaphroditus other than what we see right here, by the way. The Bible says here that he was a fellow soldier. Verse 26, for he longed after you all, full of heaviness, because that he had heard that he had been sick. And so Epaphroditus is concerned about the people that heard that he is sick. I think Epaphroditus could be labeled as someone who we would call a burdened Christian. And I don't mean burdened down. Burden for others. May God never, I pray that God would never take from us a heart of burden for others. A heart that's burdened for others. I've had the gospel exposed in my life since I've told you this, since I was in my mother's womb. Over 46 years, I've been hearing God's word. And I'm grateful for that. But you know what? I don't want to lose the burden for someone who's walking around Vancouver, for someone who's walking around Burnaby, for someone who's walking in the Philippines today, for someone who's walking in the islands today, for someone in Indonesia today, for someone in Korea and Japan, for someone in Mexico, for someone in Central America, for someone in Uganda, for someone in Liberia, for someone in all over the world. I don't want to lose the burden for someone who has yet to hear that good news that Jesus loves them. Boy, when you hear somebody say, I've never heard about Jesus, who is he? If you hear that once, it should change your life forever. Because how could someone like me hear the message over and over and over and over and over again when there's people that have never heard the message one time? I'll tell you why in some ways that's happened. It's because too many Christians are not burdened. They're not burdened. Again, a burden is not a call. A burden does not say, Pastor Turner, pack up your bags and move to a foreign land and be a missionary. If God calls me, I'm ready. But that doesn't mean I don't want to be burdened for people in Taiwan. That doesn't mean I don't want to be burdened for people in Guatemala and in Thailand and in Iran and in Saudi Arabia, where it's near impossible, we would think, to get the gospel. Brazil, we met a lady from Brazil this week on Thursday night. Pray for Michelle. Michelle from Brazil, pray for her. You know what? I'm burdened for her. She had a little four-year-old girl at the door with her, Abigail. Got to take a flyer to her when we get them for VBS. I have a burden for that lady. She said, I don't know much about the Bible, or I used to, and I started asking her questions, and she started giving me Bible answers. I said, you know more about the Bible than you give yourself credit. We had a great conversation. I believe that Epaphroditus was a burdened Christian. Let her see. He was a faithful messenger. A faithful messenger. He was other-centered. He longed for the people. He longed for the people. This shows his deep level of love for them. Verse 26, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness. He was selfless. Let me give you this in closing. Thank you for listening. I know it's warm. I have to give you this quickly. How were they to receive Epaphroditus? Number one, Paul said, receive him in the Lord. Receive him as a brother in Christ. Oh, I look all over this room today, and I don't know that everybody is a Christian. In fact, I don't think in a room this size, everybody is a Christian, but maybe a high percentage. That means you're my brother. As I said a moment ago, this is my brother, Vijay, down here. I need to receive him that way when we are together. And each of you men that are saved, you're my brother in Christ. We would disagree sometimes on things, and we would because we all think independently, but yet we should receive each other as a brother in Christ. You ladies that are here today that are saved, you're my sister in Christ, and we should receive one another that way. He said, number two, receive him with all gladness. With all gladness. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. To his courts with praise. They should be glad because Epaphroditus had recovered from this sickness, by the way. Boy, when somebody gets right with God, we ought to receive them with gladness. Galatians chapter 6, restore them and receive them with gladness. They're our brother. I know this is a physical ailment, but it could be in a spiritual way too. Let number three, hold such in reputation. They were to regard him as an honored guest. That word reputation is held in honor, prized or precious. He had almost given his life for the cause of Christ. He had almost given his life for the sake of the church at Philippi. He was courageous. He was a blessing to the Apostle Paul. Charles Spurgeon said, I know of nothing which I would choose to have as the subject of my ambition for life than to be kept faithful to my God till death. Still be a soul winner, still be a true herald of the cross, and testify the name of Jesus to the last hour. Team faithful. Are you on the team? It doesn't take an education to be faithful. Just take some obedience, some diligence. These three men, examples of faithfulness. Let's pray.